The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, good morning. I am Kevin Cry, and this is my show. Hello to all my listeners in Lansdale, Pennsylvania, New Mexico, Olympia, Washington, and all across this great state. And last but not least, here in the best county on earth, Shasta County. We are broadcasting live in the heart of District 1, downtown Reading. And I can't tell you how thankful I am to be here. It's a beautiful morning. And we are at 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, or maybe you're listening to us streaming online at kcnr1460.com. You can always catch my shows where they are archived at votekevincry.com, and you can follow me on Facebook at votekevincry. And I have other social media handles that you could poke around and find me as well. Don't do as much there, but I definitely will be doing a lot more very soon. So I just mentioned how great the weather is, and it's going to be cool all week with a very high chance of rain Thursday and Friday, but it will be clear today, so get outside, get some exercise before you strap on that feed bag, and watch what I think will be a very, very great game today. I will say I have some friends that are former Chiefs players in the Hall of Fame, Art Still, Hall of Famer Art Still, I know is going to be rooting for the Chiefs. And I'm probably going to root for the Eagles, although I won't be disappointed if Kansas City wins because I do appreciate the dynasty and what they've done, and watching them be getting a three-peat would be something pretty historic, and it would be great to watch. And so either way, it's going to be a great game, I believe. But again, weather for me is brought to us by Weather NorCal, Mike Kruger, not a paid sponsor, just a great guy. Mediocre tennis player, but a great guy, and get your weather there. You can get him on all the streaming devices, Android, Apple, etc. So my son had a basketball tournament this weekend, and it's never lost on me how great it is to see gymnasiums packed with kids and families. I think one of the greatest atrocities of COVID and the shutdowns, outside, of course, of the medical establishment lying and leading to the death of so many people unnecessarily, and not to mention the many who died alone because their family couldn't come visit them, aside from all that, was the shutdown of sports for kids. And I'm not saying that the shutdown of sports themselves was a travesty, but taking away the social and emotional well-being of youth was so crippling to so many, and we are still seeing the effects of those poor decisions and botched leadership today. What is really interesting, though, are the comparisons of people's reactions we see with DOGE, which is, you know, the Department of Government Efficiency under Elon Musk and at the direction of the President of the United States, how even the crazy liberals are still doubling down on all those bad decisions. If there was ever a definition of stupid loyal, it would be some of these officials, politicians, and just some of the general public who still refuse to not see just the harm that was done in COVID and what has happened in relation with our taxpayers' dollars. These are the people who still haven't admitted that the doctor they supported, Fauci, needs a preemptive pardon, and therefore all the agony they put Shasta County through, which was very dangerous, and how many Shasta County residents took the shots and boosters because of peer pressure or they just blindly trusted a narrative. I know for me, I'm really fortunate because I told my wife, I said, hey, I'm going to get the vaccine for sure if they mandate it to fly. And that was pretty early on because I was not about to drive to New York for meetings or Florida where I was doing business or in Connecticut. And then of course a few short months later, she said, you absolutely will not. And, of course, she was absolutely right. And, well, anyway, so back to the tax dollars. You know, in fact, I can draw a huge comparison to many of the leaders of the failed recall attempt against me with what we're seeing play out on a national level. I think so many of the people who are my biggest detractors here locally they just stick their index fingers in their ears and they scream at the top of their lungs like spoiled brats and refuse to believe that their ideologies and beliefs are such a minuscule fraction of the population. As I've spent a lot of time on the datarepublican.com website, and again, I would recommend you go there, datarepublican.com, and that's a way that you can track many of these federal grants and see how even some of those USAID dollars have filtered down to nonprofits here in Shasta County. And I'm actually gaining even a deeper understanding of how calculated and sinister I believe the recall, sorry, the failed recall attempt of me was. From the very beginning of my campaign, I spoke about forensic audits, and I wanted to truly figure out what we as a community could do as it relates to public safety and delivering services to the most vulnerable people. Nobody, and I mean nobody, has spent more time as a candidate understanding the plight of our unhoused, unsheltered, homeless population than I did. I spent countless hours in Mercy Canyon as well as in the camps off of Masonic and Breslau. I was out there with Monique at the time, Councilman Mark Mazzano and Jerry and Skippy and many others for 2 years. And when I became supervisor-elect, I immediately met with HHSA staff, and we deployed a program of getting tents set up in the rain to help people get the necessary documentation and paperwork to get food, housing, and get job opportunities to get back on their feet. And some of the questions, however, that I asked freaked a lot of the establishment out when I started asking about, data and how money is being spent. And one thing I don't personally do, or at least I try not to, is just to spend money. I like to invest it. And many of you have heard me say that over and over and over again. And as I started asking these questions of staff and HHSA, my focus started to look at all the departments. I began asking about why in the previous few years had the management staff grown so huge, so large. And I was curious how the previous board added so many flipping positions at such a ginormous cost. Like, how in the world are we needing so many more layers of government and so many more high-paid individuals? And within the first few weeks of being seated as a supervisor in 2023, I had already spent a lot of time with our auditor-controller, Noel DeShort. About 6 months in, Noel DeShort told me that she had spent more time with me than all the other supervisors combined in her time at the county. And just so you know, I mean, she isn't Lori Scott, the treasurer tax collector who started the year I was born at the county, but Noel DeShort's been around a very, very long time. You know, and for the record, Noel DeShort is one of the most brilliant people I've ever met. I mean, brilliant. She knows numbers, but also she doesn't just understand numbers. She understands the trends, and she's just very insightful, brilliant. If you don't know much about her, I would encourage you to, well, maybe don't go meet her because she's probably busy. But when she comes up for reelection, Noel DeShort is your pick. So anyway, I ran for office saying I was going to look into how we spend or invest our money, and that's what I've done. In December of 2022, the IACP was formed, and it was announced, and that is the Internal Audit Compliance Program in HHSA. Within the first couple weeks, I asked to have them look into a nonprofit that we were doing business with, and lo and behold, not long after the executive director was gone and the organization went through a name change and did a bunch of triage to salvage some things. And again, I'm not smiling about as if I'm the Grim Reaper, but I wanted to make it very public. But I deferred to staff and the senior staff, Laura Birch, and her team, said they just wanted to keep that quiet, keep doing their work, because I wanted to send a message to the bad actors that the gravy train was over. And again, I didn't even know remotely then what I know now. Here's a similarity with the failed recall group, that when I started going after these groups that sought funding from the county and multiple grants, one of the things I was attacked on, and I still am to this day, is that one of my companies works with grants or government funding through schools. What's comical is I've been delivering services in this space since 1995, so I'm not a Johnny-come-lately at all. After I graduated high school in 94, and I've been delivering phenomenal programs all over the entire state of California, and prior to COVID, I did them literally all over the world. I did a major event in April, pre-COVID, in Hong Kong, 10 days. It was during the Hong Kong Sevens, which is the largest rugby tournament or one of the most prestigious rugby tournaments in the world. And so anyway, I've been doing these programs forever. And the reason I stick to California mostly now is because I don't have to travel like I used to. The difference with what I do and my team does, however, is we deliver a very tangible, oftentimes life-changing experience to kids, families, communities, schools. And because of that, we are one of the most sought-after programs in the state. Now, again, I've been doing this since 1995 in various capacities. And what I mean by various capacities, maybe it was a coach. Maybe I was doing homeschool PE, or I was doing PE programs, doing PE consulting. And, you know, there for a while, very, very short while, I decided I didn't like being a rich kid's trainer anymore. And that maybe sound a little harsh. But I decided to go, get my teaching credential and become an on-campus coach, because I didn't want money to be the reason why my programs – I couldn't deliver my programs. And, I did that a couple years, and I just realized, yeah, that the private sector is much more for me. And, again, so I digress with that. But what the crazy leftists don't understand is some of these organizations that I've looked into that have taken money from the county or through grants, and those people and organizations aren't always delivering great results. And we have now found sometimes aren't even doing the work at all. There is another organization locally that I believe the former executive director will be prosecuted for actually taking money that they weren't entitled to. And it's an ongoing investigation, so I'll just leave that alone for now. Yet I'm the bad guy for asking questions and wanted to make sure we are getting what we paid for. And that's why these opioid dollars and how we invest them are so important to me. You know, the group that I put together, which was Jenna Berry from Raising Shasta, and Jennifer Coulter from Youth Option Shasta, and then Clay Ross, a superintendent of Columbia, who I've never done any work for, mind you, never worked with that school district or Mr. Ross, and as well as Amanda Faith. And people have asked me, why is Amanda Faith in that group? Well, her son was lost to fentanyl as an eighth grader at Sequoia, so I think she's earned a spot in that group and in that panel to craft the conversation. And they're going to be coming back to the board soon, you know, and some of the crazies think that I'm working with them so I can get a piece of that. And again, they're just trying to cause problems because in their pathetic worlds, they need to be relevant and they need to try and tear others down because their lack of success drives them like crabs pulling one another down into the bottom of a bucket. But I digress with that. Well, actually, you know what? Before I move on, here's my philosophy on people versus programs. You know, there's a balance between knowledge and programming and the spirit or character of an individual. And I'm not saying the spirit in terms of are they Muslim, are they Christian, are they Buddhist, whatever. I'm talking about just their character and their life philosophy and how they are. Because if you had two different people that were vying for some funding, and one person has a beautifully laid out plan, and they have all these graphs and charts and data, which I think is great. But there's another person who, let's say, I've done stuff with for years, or I've heard about them for years, and you know, hey, I could give this person anything, and I know they're going to steward it right because they've got a long history and track record of that. So for me, you know, people talk about cronyism a lot. Well, you look at Trump's first term and the people he appointed and the people he decided to run with versus the second time. He learned very quickly there are the Johnny-come-latelys that come butting up to him really fast. He puts them in charge of something, and then they go off and do their thing, and they're so disconnected that they're not even remotely doing what the president had asked them to do or asked them to look into. So this time he comes back with a vengeance. He knows exactly the type of people he wants to roll with. He knows exactly the type of people that are going to get the results that the American public overwhelmingly asked for. And, I think that as we look at how that, you know, trickles down to the decisions we make, you have to know that the people, or I'll just say this, this is me and I'm one vote. I have to know that the people that are going to deliver services or are going to execute a plan have the right character and mentality to do it. because, you know, one of the things is, and as we're talking about my business earlier versus, you know, other nonprofit, I'm not a nonprofit. I'm a capitalist. I'm a for-profit company, and I don't hide that. Because for me, it's not about grants and GoFundMe accounts and all that stuff. Either I execute and get it done or I don't. So when I'm looking at putting some money in somebody's hand or giving them a responsibility to execute for you, the taxpayer, I have to know that when the chips are down and maybe nobody's looking over their shoulder, they're going to do the right thing. And that's what I look for. I mean, the last appointee that we just made, Ted Leidy, to the Mosquito Vector Board, it wasn't that the other two gentlemen weren't good people. But, you know, and I don't even know Ted Leidy that well. I just met him because I knocked on his door during my campaign. But the dude is a retired command sergeant major. And if you don't know, a command sergeant major is a really, really big deal. It is a really big deal. And the people that have served as well, they would know he worked for a living. He wasn't an officer. So anyway, I digress on that. And, you know, this board and the past board asked or directed actually our CEO to find a leader for the healthcare project at a whopping $40,000 for 6 months of work. Now, just so you know, $40,000 for 6 months of work was scoffed at by a few different organizations or consulting firms. As it's been relayed to me and Supervisor Plummer, who I've worked with on this project. But you know what was budgeted for Pat Minturn, who was the temp CEO and the failed former sheriff turned assistant CEO at the time, Eric Magrini, when Supervisor Kelscher and I entered office? I mean, here was their salaries budgeted for the fiscal year 23-24. Pat Minturn's salary and benefits was budgeted at $459,676.91. And the budgeted 25-26 for failed sheriff, former assistant CEO Eric Magrini's salary and benefits was budgeted at $354,445.07. So you're talking well over $800,000. And you'd have to pull from Transparent California's records to see what the actual numbers were. But you get the point. That was budgeted, but that's a ton of money. And here's the real kicker, though. Here's the real kicker. What was their objective, and why were they selected? Because they were going to lead the construction of a new jail. What a joke. What a joke. I was, after the failed recall attempt to slow me down and get me out before I would bring this stuff to all of you, it took me literally all of about 4 or 5 meetings with Auditor Controller, again, you know, hence I say brilliant Auditor Controller Nolda Short, to say we're never getting a jail in Shasta County without a minimum 1% sales tax increase that would never sunset. And I think that number even could be 1.25% to 1.5%. And so I brought that up and told people, hey, anybody that ever runs again on a platform of we're going to build a new jail, that's fine. Run on that. But then you better run on the fact that you're going to raise our taxes. You're going to raise our taxes. And one thing we've noticed with DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, is how much money is pissed away by our politicians and our officials at the highest levels. But here's the reality is, you know, we have the IACP here in Shasta County, and I've already been working on this, but I'm just saying it publicly now that I really, really, really want to hit the gas now more than ever. And we have, you know, obviously auditors and we have analysts that do all of that work. But if you go on that new site, datarepublican.com, it is phenomenal because you can track this stuff really far down. And listen, not all of it's nefarious. Not every dollar that the USAID gave out was bad. But when you start drilling down and you start looking at some stuff and you start looking at the shell game that's played, it's pretty interesting. And, you know, and speaking of, you know, some, you know, correlations between, some of the people that are, you know, the big detractors of mine and, you know, and then you have the fearless leader of the failed recall attempt is now threatening a lawsuit over the hiring of a healthcare professional. You know, defending that lawsuit will probably cost more than the actual contract, but that's what these people do. No life, no solutions, just warm air blowing into the abyss. And I'm going to read this letter. It's part of our meeting that we have to have, a special meeting this Tuesday, and it's R4. And it just says, you know, dear Mr. Rickert, I'm considering filing a taxpayer's lawsuit against the county regarding the approval to hire Chris Street as a healthcare consultant. It is my strong belief that this represents crony government at its worst. And let me see. I don't even think he wrote this correctly as I'm reading it. It should say and may constitute. I mean, you know, you'd think a guy that I believe was a former attorney would actually spell check it, but I guess not, because I'm reading this and that should be and instead of any. But anyway, and may constitute an illegal expenditure or waste of county funds as prohibited by Code of Civil Procedure 526A. And it just goes on to bloviate some more. But here's the thing. At the end of the day, we have a county council that is absolutely crushing it. I've said this many times, that office is getting more work done with less people than has in my time, for sure, as supervisor, but from what I'm told, going back years and years and years. And I'm thankful for that. So again, this individual is going to complain about, government, complain about government and this board wasting all kinds of money, which hasn't happened. This board, last year's board and this year's board already, again, is keeping up the momentum of what last board majority was doing, which was saving us money and making sure our constitutional rights were protected. We're still doing that, and now we're getting oftentimes 4 or 5 votes opposed to just 3. Prior to this January. But again, you'll see somebody who is totally willing to possibly cost the county more money doing something frivolous just because they want to feel relevant. And here's another little tidbit of information is Gannett, who owns the Record Searchlight, actually has received money from USAID. And the person that is talking about this frivolous lawsuit is often quoted by the Record Searchlight. So it's just another prime example of how our media and its left spin and their narrative and what they want to keep pushing on us. But here's what's awesome is we have a president now, and we have people that are in his cabinet that are for the American people, like for the American people on a whole other level. And if you look at some of the executive orders that are coming down from the president, they are, some of the most exciting things I've seen. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to list a few of mine, and I want some of you to call in with some of your favorite executive orders that President Trump has brought forward. I want to hear from you which ones you like, and I'll give you a few of mine that I'm pretty excited about. I love the plan for establishing a United States sovereign wealth fund, and I'll talk a little bit about that after the break. I also love protecting children from chemical and surgical mutilation. That's another good one. Protecting our Second Amendment rights. That's another executive order that I'm very excited about. And then, you know, keeping men out of women's sports. There's another great executive order. And there's obviously many, many, many that you could, call in and let's have a little bit of a discussion for it. Again, if you don't have the number, if you want to call in, the number is 530-605-4567. Again, 530-605-4567, and call up and maybe let's even expand this. Let's just not make it the executive orders from President Trump, but let's actually expand that to some of the things that you've read that the Department of Government Efficiency has stopped funding to, or some of just the really heinous things that we were spending money on, because I think that's a great conversation to have as well. So with that, we're going to take a short break. Again, when we come back, call in. Let's have a discussion about executive orders or any of the items that the spending on some of these ridiculous programs has been halted. Again, that number is 530-605-4567. With that, we will be right back.
My people love this country and we're under attack. They ban us, they cancel us for speaking the facts. If you man enough, come stand with us, take USA back. And every time we pull up, all you're gonna see is American flag.
K KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
Since 1938, Jack's Grill has served hungry appetites fabulous steaks. Pork tender, filet mignon, juicy New York steak, or brochet of beef, all cooked to perfection and so tender you can cut it with a smile. Maybe you prefer deep-fried prawns or southern fried chicken, all served with garlic bread, hot baked potato, or french fries in a large family-style bowl of tossed green salad with a homemade dressing of your choice. Whatever you're in the mood for, meet friends and family at Jack's Grill, open Monday through Saturday.
A Redding landmark for over 80 years in the historical location on California Street in downtown Redding.
Support real journalism. Mountaintop Media is getting the truth out in Shasta County. Come join us for a fantastic fundraising dinner and live auction Saturday, February 15th at the Anderson VFW. Tickets are just $40 or a table of eight for $300. Tickets are available at Jones Fort, Northern Roots, or you can call 530-638-4150. 530-638-4150. 4150. Mountaintop Media, getting the truth out.
Are you ready to roll the dice and hit it big? Get down to Wind River Resort and Casino and take your shot at the brand new craps table.
Feel the excitement,
the thrill,
the rush.
Whether you're a seasoned player or just getting started, craps has something for everyone.
Pass line,
hard way,
come hit your point and win big.
Roll in to Wind River Resort and Casino today. Your luck starts here. For complete details, see windriver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Moments at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Redding and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Who can take your money?
Who can take your money?
With a twinkle in their eye.
A twinkle in their eye.
Take it all away and give it to some other guy. The government.
The government.
The government can.
The government can.
And who can tax the sunrise?
Who can tax the sunrise?
Who can tax the trees?
Who can tax the trees?
Let your own up all the fees, the government.
All right, we are back. I mean, I was going to just play 10 or 15 seconds of that, but that is Tim Hawkins, the government can, and not the Tim Hawkins who is the worship pastor, lead worship pastor at Pathway Church, but Tim Hawkins, a comedian. Here's the crazy thing is, that video was from 15 years ago. 15 years ago. Could it be any more relevant today? And, you know, I can't stress enough that if many of us don't continue to shake our neighbors, shake our friends, shake our family and say, hey, pay attention. If you've never paid attention ever before in your life, now's the time to do it. Now's the time to do it because it's an exciting time, for, well, I'll say those of us that have been involved, but I'm almost embarrassed to pretend that I've been involved for years because there's people that, you know, host shows on, you know, on Sundays here on KCNR that have been doing this, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 years. I mean, Mark Kent from Sovereign Minds, I mean, he served honorably in our military, has been doing a show. I don't know. I think maybe his show's been on for 70 years. No, I'm just kidding, Mark. But again, people that have been involved a really, really long time, they say they feel like this this is the culmination of everything they've been wanting, is seeing the curtain pulled back and the money that's spent. And what's really, really troubling, and I know we have a caller, and we're going to get to him in a second, but what's been really troubling is the people that are upset, they're not even upset that the money was squandered and wasted and spent the way it was. They're upset because, quote unquote, the person doing it, Musk, quote unquote, again, wasn't elected. I mean, it's insane. It's insane. So with that, we're going to take our first caller. If you want to call in, call 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. Let's talk everything, executive orders, and what has been uncovered in this DOGE process. Nick, are you there?
I am here.
How you doing, sir?
To the first part of your show and make a quick statement. Your two biggest distractors of you getting anything done is Jeff Gordon.
Hey, you know what? Hey, Nick, we're not going to even use those deadbeats' names because they don't deserve the airtime. So I don't even want to use their names. At the end
okay.
of the day,
prosecutor, head of public defender, and our judicial system has gone downhill with his watch. Same with the supervisor or the superintendent of schools. After schools went down during their watch, and all they do is complain about you doing a good job. Getting to DOGE, the most despicable money given away to me is what was given to the news media.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, how many? And I don't have the stats in front of me, but do you know how many millions of dollars that it was offhand?
No, many millions. But you know what? That's to me. That's been our biggest enemy of our country for quite a while now.
Well, and the only people, Nick, that we can count on are people like yourself, you know, and again, Mountaintop Media. I've never seen media outlets attack other media outlets, and it's just comical. You know, it's just comical how people can actually even write articles defending their stance about money coming in when you see the amount of money that was poured in by our federal government to these leftist news outlets. Thank God for President Trump and what he's doing now. I mean,
absolutely. Our country's on the right track now. I love the way he shut down the border. And I'm going to let you go on from there. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, you bet. Have a great day, Nick. All right. So I know we have another caller, Dave.
Kathy,
are you there?
Go ahead, Kathy.
Kathy, are you there?
I am.
All right. Good morning. How are you doing?
I am good. How are you?
I am doing well. And before Kathy, you give your 2 cents and, you know, give 35 cents. It doesn't matter to me. If you want to call in, 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. Kathy, what say you, my friend?
Well, I'm really glad to hear that this malarkey about men in women's bathrooms and locker rooms gets to be looked at and possibly stopped. I was terminated from the YMCA here locally because I asked too many questions regarding that. I had been a member for 17 years, and I'm concerned about little girls in the locker rooms coming out of the swimming pool and having to be exposed to men, naked men.
Now, and you're talking, just so listeners understand this, because I do remember that, and I do remember that conversation. This was the YMCA on Eureka Way, correct?
That is correct.
Yes, this is in Shasta County.
This is in Shasta County.
Yes. No, I remember I met with four or five women. Yeah, you weren't one of them, but I met with four or five women that were asking me to step in and intervene. And again, that was very, very early on in my term here. And one of the things I learned in that, well, not just that process, but a bunch of these, is about jurisdiction and what we could actually affect. And again, that's a reason, Kathy, why I'm on the radio, because I know I can affect change from the bully pulpit. And, you know, we're not getting any help from other media trying to tell those stories, so we got to do it ourselves. And whatever came of that. So, you know, they terminated your membership for speaking up after 17 years. Did you ever go back? Or
no, I did not go back because being that they were supposed to be Christian-based when they started, what they're doing is not Christian-based, in my opinion. I also know that the county, they get money from the county. and I just they're not going to get another penny from me.
So the YMCA gets money from the county of Shasta?
That's what I've been told. That's correct.
Yeah, I'd have to look into that. I'm not saying you're wrong, but I would definitely have to look at what the where that would be. I'd be very curious.
I think it's coming through the seniors. It has to do with senior programs.
Through senior programs. I wonder if that would be like if there's like a Silver Sneakers program or something to that matter, because it'd be interesting to know, because I can't imagine that we would give money to the YMCA, but at the same time, let's maybe.
I can't imagine that the government was giving money to so many of these programs that they're unveiling already. So, it's insane. It's insane the amounts of our taxpayer money that is going to programs that none of us even knew about or would approve.
Yeah, well, absolutely, and I think that's some of the outrage of just the American public right now is so many of us, I think, especially pre-COVID, had no belief that the government could be this dark to do the things it's done to the American people and businesses, families, kids, and now we're just seeing it more and more. And I'll tell you, it's hard to be surprised, Kathy, but. Even Biden's preemptive pardons, just to me, were shocking. That you're going to preemptively pardon people for things that they quote unquote may have done or may do. It was just like, wow, that's just another level. So
a whole nother layer.
Yeah, it's a whole nother layer. And if we don't continue to have the conversations like I do. I still really want to understand like how people can, can agree or who aren't upset about what they're learning about their dollars and how they're spent. I spoke to somebody who faced some very unfortunate circumstances around the car fire. Their house wasn't personally burned, but they had a very close relative's house burned. And we were talking about the Palisades fire and talking a little bit about Governor Newsom when he just did this press conference the other day about lining out all of these sustainable, environmental friendly, 15-minute city type of regulations to rebuild at the Palisades. And he's just laying the groundwork to make, I think, a lot of those people say, forget it. Like, and it really starts to feel like, man, it feels like a big land grab is coming. But, again, I would encourage anybody to go back and watch that press conference.
Yeah, he, too, was quite delusional. I mean, he's not even paying any attention to the fact that his blue state turned a little bit more red this last election.
Oh, I think California is a lot redder than people even want to give it credit for. And that's another thing I'll tell people. I said, if you think election reform, like big time election reform, isn't coming to the United States with a federal initiative, and again, there's a lot that's going to have to happen within the state.
Right.
But when you look at President Trump and the bold moves he's making now. I will tell you, I do have some very firsthand information with some stuff as it relates to elections federally and some things possibly coming. But those aren't going to probably be coming until closer to, 3 or 4 months in, because, President Trump having, a 4-year run and then having 4 years to plan, strategize, and be able to now execute a second 4 years with that 4-year gap in the middle, I think is actually going to be better for the American public. Not that we would really want to, not that we're excited about having to go through the last 4 years where we pretty much just tried to dismantle everything American about America. But, I think we're going to see some really, really big moves, some things executed at the federal level, and elections is not going to escape the overhaul that's needed. And anybody who wouldn't be behind making our votes more secure? Who wouldn't want to be behind making sure only those people that vote are registered, or not just registered, but are truly American citizens? Like, who could be against that? I mean, there's one state, and probably many others, but there's one state that the requirement to register to vote is a library card and a power bill. That's what you need. Well, I mean, a power bill and a library card. Like, making the bar so low, I mean, that's just a joke. And that's actually, to me, it having rules like that borders on treason to me, because you're just allowing people to circumvent the process. So, Kathy, is there anything else? And I appreciate you calling. Is there anything else that you wanted to share?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. I think we needed that 4 years in between to show us how bad it could get.
I agree. Well, we now know, and God willing, we won't go back. But we got to stay vigilant. All right. Thank you, Kathy. Have a great rest of your weekend. All right. We're going to take our next caller. Before we do, if you want to call in, 605-4567, 530-605-4567. And remember, all my shows are archived at votekevincry.com. So if you're tuning in late, go back and listen to the beginning. It'll be posted on that site by 11 o'clock today. All right. Thank you for your patience. Patty, are you there?
I am. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Patty. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's going to be a great day. Really excited about all that our president's doing, of course, line by line. It just couldn't be more wonderful, especially what you've been trying to do here in the county. And so I celebrate your time with Nolda Short. I had wonderful time with her as well, as I was trying to discover the cost, of course, of our elections. And it just became like a can of worms, a ball of snakes, more than I could handle. And I would welcome more people to help me decipher actually the cost, because I never did get to the base of it. The numbers I did come up with came through Nolda, of course, and then also Chris Street. He was helpful. He got the numbers from Kathy Darling Allen. And so those numbers that were distributed as far as the cost that it would be for a paper ballot in a polling place, you know, and different things. So anyways, coming back to that, when I heard Kathy jump on, my heart started pounding, because I spent some time at working for the YMC as well, and in the child care part. And speaking of children and protecting their innocence, I was just appalled when I heard that adult men could bring their equipment and expose themselves to children in our YMCA women's locker room.
Yes. So, well, and thank goodness for the leadership of our president that we're putting a stop to that, and we're putting a stop to men in women's sports. One thing that we do see, which is troubling here in the state of California, is Gavin Newsom, our governor, is trying to Trump-proof California. Sure. So Jim Desmond out of San Diego County, he's a supervisor down in San Diego County, and he's actually bringing some resolutions forward to begin to push back on the governor and some of his overreach, because you know, I think it's important that we remain vigilant as what our president's doing federally, and still understanding that the things that are happening here in California that they're trying to slow down and block our president from doing, not everybody feels that way as the governor. So,
right, exactly. Well, being appalled is the first step, and then being activated is the second. But if we just stay appalled and we keep complaining about what's happening, you know, with our money and different things, and don't do anything. So I just would invite Kathy and anyone else that's passionate about protecting our children at the YMCA, that we need to rally together, do a protest, become visible, do a press release, so the information gets out there, first of all, because most people don't know. And so we got a membership again last year, or gosh, it's been 2 years ago, when my husband's health started deteriorating. He needed to get into the pool and swim. And so we were getting over there, and then when I heard this is what they were allowing in the women's locker room, I just confronted them. I said, absolutely not. We're not giving you any more money. So a year passed. I went back in there a few months ago, and it just so happened that Joe Kamini's wife, Debbie, was there at the counter, and she works there. And I said, Debbie, so good to see you. They've got grandchildren. We've got grandchildren. She knows my family well. And I said, tell me, this is what I understand. Is it still going on? Can men go into the women's locker room? And, well, I said some things that upset her, and she goes, well, I wouldn't put it that way. And I said, Kathy, this is shocking. I mean, Debbie, this is shocking that you would support this. Would you really allow my grandchildren to come in there? We have 12 of them. The granddaughters, would they come in and be able to see this? Would you allow your grandchildren? And she just was all flustered and said, well, we only had one. We've only had one. I said, one is too many to have. They need to, you know, mental illness doesn't need to be catered to at the YMCA. We need to protect the innocence of our children. That's first and foremost.
Yeah.
So this is good. And I think getting the word out there, we need to expose this and make some changes, especially, like you said, with the executive order that our president has put in place for this purpose.
Well, Patty,
so
thank you. I really appreciate you calling in. And again, I think what you said is correct. You know, people can complain, but they got to be vigilant and they got to put things into action and understanding the jurisdiction of your local officials, but also what you could do as private citizens. Understand what we can do as private citizens and then act on that. And I think that's what's important is understanding and knowing what we can actually do and then doing those things as foundational things.
Exactly.
Patty, thank you so much for calling in. Have a great rest of your Sunday.
We'll talk to you this week. Thanks.
You bet. Bye. We're going to go back to our next caller. We have them stacked up. So 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. Siskiyou Steve, are you there?
Yes, sir. Hey, Kevin. Thank you for your show.
You betcha. Hey, thank you for listening in a great county, but not as great as Shasta. But Siskiyou is great.
Well,
yeah, I'm just kidding.
We're working on it.
Okay.
Hey, last week I told you about Erin Ryan's show, and she was talking to this guy, and I'm sorry I don't get the names. I really listen to the content of the show, and the names I get later, I'm dyslexic, and I don't catch a lot of stuff except for I try to catch the main deal, and the main topic of his discussion, and he's helping other counties and cities in this regard, is the letter of the law, the organic wording of the Constitution.
So
tie it
into the executive orders or an item.
Well,
that
that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
That's exactly what I'm saying, is that the letter of the law, the organic meaning of the Constitution, makes it very, very simple. So all of this conversation around gun control and everything else is very simply said right there in the Constitution, period. And that's, I'm a general contractor. I fix your house. It's done. I go right to the point. I don't go around and around and around with, you know, all these options and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just really simple, and that's where we got to get it back to. So that's my point. Thank you, Kevin.
Well, hey, I appreciate that very much. And Steve, listening in Siskiyou County, and again, that's one of the things that, as we talk about what we can do, and this isn't just supervisors or elected officials, you know, at the cities, whether it be Shasta Lake, Anderson, Redding, et cetera. You don't have to have a radio show. You don't even necessarily have to do Facebook videos. But we need to make sure, and I guess I'm speaking to more of the electeds, and I'm not sure how many listen. I know there's quite a few that listen in other counties. But I would say, you know, we have to just keep multiplying the efforts. We got to get more people and more people and more people engaged in different ways, whether they're having, you know, signature gathering tables, when there's ballot initiatives that really support, a constitutional, like, you know, doubling down on our constitutional republic. It's the most important thing. So we're going to go back to the calls. 530-605-4567. We're going to go, Ken, are you there? Ken, are you there?
Kevin, good morning.
Good morning,
Kevin,
sir.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Hey, very good. Hey, tying it back into President Trump's orders, executive orders, I would have to say somewhat in agreement with everybody, the whole Title IX issue and men staying out of women's sports is absolutely unbelievable to me that the Biden administration would even allow that. And I had a daughter in sports for years, and the fact that she competed against women on women and there were no men involved, it never dawned on me that one day men would be allowed to play in high school and collegiate sports with women. It's just unbelievable.
Now, were you in high school or close thereabouts when Title IX was when it began?
I graduated in 77, so I think Title IX might have started. I can't speak for sure, but I think it started sometime in approximately that era? Yeah. I just don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to actually look it up as we're sitting here talking.
But, I mean, back then, no one questioned it. Men competed in men's sports, and for these guys that can't compete in men's sports, for them to say, well, I'm going to have an identity issue today and actually be able to win for once, you know, it's just a joke.
1972.
Man, David, that's fast. Thank you. So 1972 is when that started. And I remember my mom, you know, talking to me about, you know, when she played volleyball in junior high and high school, they played on blacktop, you know, and she'd cut her knees up and stuff like that. And that's, you know, and to think how far women's sports had come, and it's returning to that. But then now what I hope they do as well is I hope there's a layer where any record that was reset or broke by a transgender athlete, by a man competing against women, then that would be just erased. And we would then, I mean, you look at what happened in baseball, how, you know, they put big asterisks by a bunch of things from the steroid era, which that to me actually is, it's very different in the sense that you had a bunch of athletes competing against one another who were all on steroids or HGH or performance enhancing drugs of some kind. And so, you know, you had Roger Clemens throwing to Barry Bonds. Well, they were both doping. So here you have an example of, you know, there was really no advantage gained by either one of them. And again, that's just two people head to head. But what you're talking about in women's sports, you're talking about men who have a very big advantage competing against women. When my daughter was go ahead. I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
No, the fact that any of the parents that are allowing the guys to go into the same locker room as their daughters in high school or even college and don't stand up and do something is to me unbelievable.
Yeah, well,
you're actually not going to go to the school and stand on the principal's head to get some kind of action. It's just unbelievable that they allow these people. I don't see anyone running the 400 meters against Cindy McLaughlin, you know, our world record holder, because they know they can't beat her.
Yeah.
So these guys that could never perform at a male level decide to have a, you know, so-called, you know, come to a change moment.
Yeah, no, exactly. And, you know, my daughter playing rugby at Grand Canyon University, there was men competing in the conference. And I believe even one that was either attempting or was actually on her team at Grand Canyon. And I just shook my head and I just said, man, I wasn't happy. So the the two seasons that she played at Grand Canyon couldn't get over fast enough for me.
That's a shame. It shouldn't be that way.
Yeah, no, exactly. Hey, Ken, thank you so much for calling. Hey, are you going to go out and mountain bike today? It's beautiful weather.
It's windy.
All right. Kevin,
thank you for having me on. We'll talk to you later.
You bet. Thank you. And again, Ken, thank you for calling in. And also, I want to tell people that next weekend is on February 15th. I believe there's three events that I know of. One of them is the Sax Dance in Anderson, and then Mountaintop Media next Saturday has a fundraiser. But the reason I bring those up is I'm going to one of the greatest parties you'll ever go to, the Filipino group here in Shasta County does an amazing Valentine's Day banquet and party. And the Christmas one is phenomenal. I didn't get to go to the Christmas one this year because my anniversary fell on the same time, so my wife and I were out of town. But if you still want to try and grab a seat, not sure if they're still available, but private message me and I'll get you the information you need for any of those three events, but especially the Filipino Valentine celebration. They are some of the most fun people you will ever meet. So, Christy and Ken, I will see you for sure next Saturday. It looks like we have one more caller in. We've got about a minute. And, David, do we want to patch them? Well, you know what? I think we're out of time. So we have 40 something seconds left. So here's what I want to tell people again today. I want to stress, to people that with this show, share it. get people engaged, make sure people understand that what's happening at the federal level happens at the local level. And I'm not just saying just here in Shasta County. I'm talking about anywhere where you're listening. Again, Lansdale, Pennsylvania, New Mexico, Southern California, Olympia, Washington. This stuff happens. Encourage your elected officials to roll back the curtain, ask the questions that we all should want to know the answers to, is how is the government spending our hard-earned taxpayer money? With that, have a beautiful week, and we'll see you again in 2 weeks.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.